Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Ain't No Game. It's a thing we're trying.
This may be the only episode. If you like it, we may do more.
You need to let us know, otherwise we won't know if you want to do any more of this. But anyway, listen, my name is William Bibbiani. I'm a film critic. I write for The Wrap. Everybody calls me Bibbs.
My name is Whitney Seibold. I, too, am a film critic. I contribute to Slash Film. I don't have a cute nickname. But I used to be good at this game.
He used to be the game master. This, what you're about to listen to, is a last minute idea. I am going out of town for a few days, and we needed to record something so we could release a podcast while I'm out of town. Otherwise, it'd be like a really long gap. But we both hadn't seen enough movies to do a proper critically acclaimed episode. We're still doing our research for our Patreon-exclusive Oscars episode. Our next episode of our Star Trek podcast requires us to watch 3 episodes, and we didn't have time tonight. So we were racking our brain, what could we do that would be fun? And I had the idea that we could play a movie-related tabletop game, and then Whitney had the better idea that it'd be a retro game. Specifically, in this case, Trivial Pursuit Silver Screen Edition from 1983.
Which I just happen to have. This board that we have set out in front of us is the original Trivial Pursuit board from 1982. It's that nice dark blue color.
Yeah, so it looks very official. I remember thinking this looks like it should be in a college somewhere.
Yeah, it has those like library public domain images on each square. And this is the cards that Trivial Pursuit was really brilliant because that you could get the base board game, but if you wanted to expand into like a specific category, they came out with these other separate card boxes.
I think it might be worth actually reminding people what Trivial Pursuit is. I was recently in a game store. They sell nothing but games.
Okay.
And I asked, hey, do you have Trivial Pursuit? And they said, we don't carry that anymore.
Oh.
I don't know if it's out of print or just out of favor, but real fast, in case anyone needs a primer, Trivial Pursuit is a classic board game. There, you have a board, you have one dice, a d6, and you each have one sort of game token. And as you move around the board, you have to answer different trivia questions based on the color of the square you land on. Orange is typically sports, that kind of thing. Pink is usually arts and entertainment.
In the original Genius Edition, I was like green. Green was science and nature.
Yeah.
And orange, I did not like sports and leisure because I didn't know any of those.
Oh, I always bombed that. But the idea is there are
six sort of pie-shaped wedges around the external ring of this like hub of the board. And you have to land on each one of those. If you answer a question correctly on the wedge piece, you get a little plastic wedge to put in your game piece.
And if you get all 6 wedges, you have to move your piece to the center of the board and ask one random... You're asked one random question based on a roll of a dice. You get a 1, it's, I believe it would be blue.
It would be geography.
Yeah. However, because as Whitney said, you could just buy the base game but then get different specific trivia packs. In 1983, they released the Silver Screen Edition, which changed all the categories to be movie-centric. The categories are settings.
That's blue.
Titles. That's pink.
And it says TIT on the card.
Nice.
Isn't that cute? Yeah.
Nice. Off-screen is yellow. On-screen is brown. Production is green. And portrayals is red.
That's orange. It just looks red
more,
on that card.
It looks more red on that
it's
card.
It's kind of
you're
a
right.
deep blood orange color, yeah.
So what we love about this is that we're not only... Because we love movies, we love trivia. We were both very good at the movie trivia Schmodown. Whitney's career does not, frankly, belies his genius. Because you were always great and you always had bad luck. And that's not your fault. Because people were terrified of you. They knew how good you were. But you had bad luck.
But I always lost.
Yeah, but you always had bad luck because of one weird thing that wasn't your fault. And that was just always annoying. But the cool thing about this is the trivia stops at 1983.
Yeah, it's really fun to play the original Genius Edition that came out in 1982 because you're still going to ask questions about like East Germany and the Soviet Union, like all these things that don't exist anymore.
How many presidents have there been?
Yeah,
39.
Yeah, how many were there in 1982?
Yeah.
This is the Silver Screen Edition, which came out in 1983, along with this was released with a big deluge of new card categories.
Yeah.
Because there was Genus, and then there was the Silver Screen Edition. There was the All-Star Sports Edition, which came in the green box.
Which I had zero interest in.
Yeah. The one I really wanted came in the light blue box. That was the Young Players Edition. I was a young player. I thought, oh, I could probably know more of those
trivia,
answers.
A bit more kid-friendly. Yeah. Yeah, stuff kids would know.
And then there was the, what we like to call Hell, which was the Baby Boomer Edition, was like 60s-centric. And We didn't know any of those.
No.
And I have it. I still have that old Baby Boomer edition that we could never play.
When I was a kid, I wanted to play Trivial Pursuit all the time. The one game I could get my parents to play with me was Scrabble, which I wasn't good at yet, but I got good at fast because they were amazing at it. But Trivial Pursuit, I could never convince anyone to play with me. They thought it was boring as hell. I wanted to play all the time. And no one would ever play with me. The last time I tried to play Trivial Pursuit with someone was with a roommate I had in 2008. Ugh. And I said, do you want to play Trivial Pursuit? And he said, and I quote, no thank you, I find it trivial. And that was not a joke. That wasn't ironic. He realized what he said afterwards. He thought the game was pointless. And it's like, yeah, it's a fucking board game.
You play for fun. Yeah.
Typically, it's pointless. Like, maybe you'll learn a new word from Scrabble, but you're just spending time, basically.
What I appreciate about Trivial Pursuit in particular, though, it's a game I've always liked, is it's one of the few games that, especially in the earlier editions where they try to make it look a little bit like a library, it feels like it's a game that values knowledge.
Yeah, it's like the Jeopardy of board games.
Yeah, it rewards you for knowing stuff, and it doesn't, it's hard. It doesn't like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are actually tricky questions in there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be until like the later editions when you get to like Genus 4, Genus 5 that they really started to go ham on like modern pop culture, and they really tried to make it really, really simple.
They had like an 80s edition, which tended to lean towards pretty easy.
Yeah. I have the 80s edition, which came out in 99,
2000. So anyway, we thought it would be fun to play Trivial Pursuit with you. This might not be fun.
Oh.
Maybe it's great. And if you enjoy it, please leave us a comment on the Patreon page. Send us an email. Track us down on social media. I'm at William Bibbiani on Blue Sky. He's at Whitney Seibold on Blue Sky. And let us know if you like this, because if you like this, we can turn this into a regular thing where we track down old movie games. Movie trivia games, maybe a tie-in game to a movie. Oh. Like, was there a Meet the Applegates board game? I don't know. I'd play it.
There were a lot of like movie tie-in board games that you wouldn't think were real. I have the Dune board game from
the original.
1984. The original from 1984.
Yeah.
I have
a Star Wars board game from the 70s.
Nice.
The original Star Wars board game, yeah.
I was looking up information about these old Trivial Pursuit editions, and I did find in that search that there was a trivia game in 1985 that was all Star Trek trivia.
What? From
only from 85 and before. So That's even before they made Star Trek 4 came out.
If no one gives a shit about this podcast, we're still tracking that down.
Right.
I mean it. But
let's get started.
Let's get started. Whitney, you said you always liked to be, you always liked to be green? Was that your favorite?
Well, that was my favorite question, but I didn't really have a preference as to what color I wanted my piece to be.
I always wanted to be pink, because pink was arts and leisure, and that was my best chance. I thought it would help me out. I never won.
Well, art and literature was brown. E was entertainment.
That's what I mean.
Pink
E was
entertainment.
You're right. My apologies. I'm remembering it wrong. Right. Yes. Pink was entertainment.
I was like,
which was different from literature.
I like the the science and the literature. I'm going to do the literature from original. So I'm going to be brown.
Yes.
I know that's kind of boring. And you're going to hear a lot of clicking and fiddling in the background.
That's
here.
What makes it fun.
Yes. That's what makes it tactile.
That's what makes it audio.
People want to hear it.
So
do you want to roll to see who goes first?
We roll for initiative. Right. Highest goes first. Here we go. I got
20.
A 3.
Nat 20. All right, here we go.
Oh, this would be fun to play with a 20-sided dice. Just constantly moving.
I also rolled a 3. Okay. Oh, this is getting off to a great start.
Oh, great. 6.
6. All right. And 5. You got to go first.
Okay.
Now, if you roll a 6 from the center, you get to go straight out to one of the wedge.
Yes, so I hope I get to do that. Yeah. I did not.
So, but of course, you're in the center, so just choose which spoke you want to travel down,
and you can
choose whatever color you want.
Here's the deal. I really, other than just vague categories, I don't know how this works, so I'm just going to pick one at random.
All
so,
right.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm on green. Which one's green again?
Green is production.
Oh, God.
And the question for production is, what actor has starred in the most film production of Shakespeare's works?
As of 1983.
As of 1983.
I feel like there's probably like some character actor who's been in a million of them.
Oh golly, yes. I'm sure this is not accurate. But
if I were to guess, I'd say the answer they're looking for is Sir Laurence Olivier.
It's Laurence Olivier. Okay. Right. Roll again.
All right. One.
You got right. Pink. Or you can move back.
No, I'm going to... yeah, Pink's fine.
Pink, that's titles. T-I-T. There's a painting by a guy named... here's how you spell his name. T-I-T-I-A-N.
You know, we were batting around some ideas for what to call this. And we ended up with This Ain't No Game because that's like the tagline to the Super Mario Brothers movie from 1993.
Yeah.
But some of the rejected titles were OMG, I Just Game.
Little
it was rejected.
Uh-huh.
It was rejected.
Little out on the edge, a little blue. Yeah. Oh God, some of these are... Okay, I thought these were going to be hard. Okay. Titles. What 1931 movie? Guess.
Frankenstein.
It's Frankenstein. Okay. Yeah. But the whole question is, what 1931 movie was about a man with a square head held together by two clamps, complete with lizard eyes made of rubber?
Actually, I didn't know that bit. That's kind
of
cool.
Well, they're not lizard eyes made of rubber. Yeah, they used mortician's putty on Boris Karloff's eyelid so he couldn't open his eyes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mortician's putty is like a weighted putty you put on corpse's eyes so they stay closed at a funeral.
Ah.
And he just put some of that on his eyes to make him look a little more dead.
Also, I'm going
to
throw it out there. I always thought his head was more cylindrical than square.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's flat. I give you that. And maybe like in the Halloween mask, it's square. But all right. Here we go.
One. Ooh, you landed on the chip piece.
Landed on the blue.
Right.
Here we go.
So this is blue. That's settings.
Okay.
And we're going to keep repeating the categories as we go.
Sure.
Settings. What was Scott Carey chased out of by a cat in The Incredible Shrinking Man?
Oh, a dollhouse.
It was a dollhouse. You get a chip.
All right.
You get to keep on rolling.
Yeah, I know.
As long as you go right, get it
if,
right.
If this ends up being easier than we thought it would be, maybe we could put like a limit on it, like you get five turns in a row or something.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so what's that, three for me?
No, you get a chip.
I understand, but I just did three, right? That's my third question?
I suppose so,
that's my third question. So I get two more.
You keep going until you get it wrong.
No. If they're going to be this easy, that's not fun.
All right,
so let's just keep going. All right. Four.
Four. That's brown
One,
or
two,
orange.
Three, four. Brown.
Brown. That's on screen. Right. On screen. What color is the Caped Crusader's belt in Superman?
Oh, in Superman? Yeah. I think it's still yellow, right?
It is. It's yellow.
Okay, yeah.
All right, roll again.
Superman usually isn't considered a Caped Crusader anymore. That's typically a Batman thing.
This was 1983. I
think that's interesting.
I think
we've all learned something.
I think Batman co-opted it at some point.
Batman,
one, roll again or yellow?
Yellow.
Okay. You always go for roll again, man. Get to another chip spot.
Yeah, but it's boring for the podcast.
I suppose so. Okay, orange, that is...
it's yellow.
Or it's yellow, excuse me, off screen. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
What 1966 musical was described by Pauline Kael like, quote, coitus interruptus going on forever?
My Fair Lady.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, and this is a pity because I like this one. Coitus interruptus should be your clue. That's the context clue.
Okay, coitus Mary Poppins?
No.
What
language is that?
Well, it's Latin.
Yeah. There's a context clue.
Is that a funny thing happened on the way to the forum?
A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Oh,
which is a pity because I love that movie.
Would you have gotten that?
Probably not.
Okay, yeah. Well, fair enough. All right. All yours, my good friend.
I get to roll. Okay. I rolled a five. Mm. I'm going to choose blue. No, what have we not had yet?
I don't think we've had blue.
Okay, we'll do blue. Settings.
Right. Well, yes, I did, but it's fine. Okay. Okay. Where was Baron Frankenstein's old family homestead in Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein?
It wasn't in Transylvania?
Is that your answer?
Oh, hang on.
I know this
because I've seen Young Frankenstein.
You could
times.
Go with your gut, or you could.
I'm
not
gonna
go
say, I think it is Transylvania.
It is Transylvania 65,000.
Was it really?
Yeah. Pardon me, boys. Is this the Transylvania station?
Track 29. Can I give you a shine? Yeah.
No thanks.
Well, it was a joke. It wasn't actually Transylvania.
I know, but it should have been
Pennsylvania 65,000.
I know.
There was a movie called Transylvania 65,000.
Yes, with the classic comedy duo of Jeff Goldblum and Ed Begley Jr.
And Michael Richards
and a young Gina Davis who is in like an Elvira costume. I had such a crush on her in that movie.
Her neckline goes down to her navel. Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
I tried rewatching that recently and it does not hold up.
Oh, I liked it
as
a kid.
It's so not funny.
I rolled a one, which puts me on the pink chip. And if I get it right, I get a chip. So
okay.
Here we go. Pink is titles.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I think we got this. What 1927 film featured Toot Toot Tootsie, Mammy, Blue Skies, and Waiting for the Robert E. Lee?
Well, yeah. It's the jazz singer, but
yeah, no shit.
I mean, Mammy gives it away.
That's also, like the 1927 Talkie gives it away.
Clearly it's The Man Who Laughs. No, it's... That's the thing. They don't... They're obscure for young people, I think. But for us, this is going to be a long
We're going to find one. I'm hoping we'll find something that, like, they really, really thought...
Yeah.
Like, Tom Jones was going to be better remembered in the future than it was.
And, that's what we have. My wife and I have a 1989 edition. It's called Hollywood Flicks. And it's, like, a little updated. And a lot of it, it's like, how many questions do you want to answer about a soldier's story? Like, right, all these movies that were popular at the time.
This is actually hard.
Okay.
This is legitimately hard.
This is yellow. Yeah. This is off screen. Yeah.
How old was Elvis Presley when he died on August 16th, 1977?
Oh, he was 42?
Yeah, he was a lot younger than I thought he was. Yeah. I thought he was a little older than that. Yeah, he was 42. Wow, good guess. Right,
yeah.
Good get.
I just know a little bit about Elvis.
I know a lot about Elvis. Right. I couldn't remember the number. That's all impressive. Right, yeah. Okay, wow. Yeah. Good for you, buddy. Roll again.
I know I've outlived him. That's the thing.
Well, yeah.
So, I get to... I'm heading my way toward the green chips. So yes, I want a three and I rolled a six. Okay. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me a blue.
Okay, it's going to get a little blue in here.
Settings again. Give me a blue question.
What two 1964 films... This is terrible grammar. Was Moscow nuked in?
Wait, say it. What?
I'll rephrase it. Right. Moscow, the city in Russia.
Yes, yeah.
Was nuclear bombed in two movies in 1964. Got to name both.
Dr. Strangelove?
Yes.
On the Beach? No, Failsafe.
Okay, I'm going to give you Failsafe. Right. Did On the Beach come out in 1964? Because I'd give you that, too, because the whole world was nuked in that movie.
I don't think so.
Let me look up
the year of On the Beach, but yeah. Failsafe was the other one.
Yeah, On the Beach, have you never seen On the Beach?
Before you corrected me, yeah.
Dr. Strangelove, I think a lot of people know it, classic satire of nuclear proliferation. Failsafe came out the same year, was the deadly serious version of the exact same story. On the Beach is one of the most depressing movies you've ever seen. It's all about how the nuclear war happened, but nobody bombed Australia, so all the Australians are just waiting for the nuclear cloud to reach them, and that's the whole movie.
Oh, I was way off. On the Beach was 59.
Okay, well,
so yeah,
fair enough. All right, you get.
I get to roll again.
I think you get two more.
Two more. Okay,
and then we
move on. If I get a four, I can get the brown chip. If I get a three, I can get the green chip. Let's see what I get. And I got a two, but that's roll again. Give me a two or a five. It's a six. Fuck. Give me
an orange.
I don't think we have an orange yet. Portrayals.
Okay. Okay, this is actually a good one. This, I don't know if this will get you or not.
All right.
Who took a bow in the 1934 movie Baby Take a Bow?
Oh, I don't think I know this.
I don't know. I think you can probably figure
Lauren
it
McCall.
Out. She wasn't even in movies yet.
Oh, what year was it?
1934.
Oh, 34. Oh, no, it would not be Lauren McCall.
Maybe. I can, no. Like, 34 is pretty...
No.
I feel like that is your answer,
34.
I'll give it to
Joan Crawford. I don't know.
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
She was a kid. Oh. Yeah. All right.
Oh, baby. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I Shirley Temple is a gigantic black hole in my film education.
You know,
I've seen zero Shirley Temple movies.
Her movies were on TV all the time when I was a kid, and nobody watches them anymore. They're all gone. Everyone knows, like, a couple of, like, GIFs and images of her, or, like, the Simpsons parody.
Yeah.
And it's like those movies are a phantom, and nobody cares.
Well,
should we watch those at some point? Should we do
perhaps,
that?
Perhaps, like, kind of educate ourselves. Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Orange.
Ooh, orange for the chip. Okay. No, Shirley Temple is another one of those examples of something that is massively popular and occupies every facet of popular culture.
She won a special Academy Award, like a special one, just for being so awesome as a young kid.
And now it's just gone.
Yeah.
Like, things that are super popular don't always stay.
Yeah.
Anyway, here is the orange question for portrayals.
Mm-hmm.
What torch singer portrayed the tragic Julie in both the 1929 and 1936 versions of Showboat?
Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
Oh, you're not going to get this.
Am I not going to get this?
No.
All right.
I mean, if you get it, I'll be really impressed.
Oh, God. Oh, it's not who I'm thinking of. I'm going to throw out a name because I know it's wrong. Ginger Rogers.
not Ginger, it's Helen Morgan.
Helen Morgan. Good old Helen. Everyone loves her.
Now, here's something
I'm
funny.
I'm glad they finally got difficult, by the way.
Yeah. some of these are hard. Like, I don't know about Helen Morgan. But if you look down any individual card, because I'm looking at the same card here.
They tend to kind of revolve around a similar topic.
A similar topic. Like, each card has a similar topic. So if you look at the on-screen, the Brown question, it's what did the hard-drinking title character die of in the 1957 biopic, The Helen Morgan Story? So this actress actually had a biopic made about her.
Oh, interesting.
And she died of cirrhosis.
Oh, that's...
So that's the question.
That's a...
Hard drinking was your context.
Yeah. Okay, well, damn. All right, well, so, it's your turn, there we go. My good friend.
One, two, three, four. Give me another blue.
Yes.
That is settings.
All right. What was replicated at a cost of $9 million for The Agony and the Ecstasy?
It was like a castle, wasn't it?
I'm not going to tell you. You have to give an answer. I'll tell you what, it's not like a castle, it's like a specific thing.
Oh.
Like it has a name.
Okay.
Like a famous historical thing.
The Shroud of Turin. No.
For $9 million? The Sistine Chapel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was a building.
It wasn't a castle.
A chapel. It's a building. It's a large structure.
You're right. A chapel, castle. They sound close enough.
You said it was a thing. I thought it meant something.
No.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
I meant it was a specific place, not just some castle.
All right. Yeah.
Five.
See, now these are getting a little hard. We're getting to a lot of
ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Roll again.
Two.
Yellow.
Yellow for the chit. All right.
Oh, no.
Off screen.
Okay.
What star of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter started out as a member of the folk singing group, The Terriers?
Ricky Nelson?
No.
Who?
And he only died recently.
Oh, no. Who?
Alan Arkin.
Wow. Okay. Well, first off, obviously, I've never seen The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Yeah.
I only know The Heart is a Lonely Hunter from the Ryan Gosling album.
Oh, gosh.
Which was, I think it's Dead Man's Bones. Is that what that is? The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. I think that's that, right? All right, I could be wrong. I have to look up that thing. Okay, well, anyway, it's your role.
Yeah.
Let me look up the Ryan Gosling.
Alan Arkin was evidently in a folk singing group called the Terriers. Terriers with an A. Terriers.
Ah.
All right, well, I'm going to roll. Still
Dead Man's Bones was indeed the name of it, and I might be getting... If I've got the wrong song, you let me know.
I just rolled a 1, which puts me on roll again. Okay. We have to narrate as we go.
We do, otherwise it's boring as hell.
I'm going to go back to orange.
See, we don't actually have the capacity for video, or rather, we don't have the capacity to edit it. All right, orange.
Or high-quality video, or patience.
Oh, okay, you should know this. What country singer played Burt Reynolds' good buddy in Smokey and the Bandit?
Oh, what was his name?
He was Smokey.
Pardon?
He was the guy who played Smokey. I'm narrating for the people.
Oh. Yeah. Burt Reynolds played Smokey.
No, Burt Reynolds played the Bandit.
No, Burt Reynolds played the Bandit.
Yeah. He got to be the Bandit in Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Oh, it's Jackie Gleason.
No, not... You're thinking of the original version of Smokey and the Bandit 3. In the beginning of Smokey and the Bandit 3...
Smokey
is told he gets to be the Bandit
now. Best friend
now.
Character. Oh, gosh.
And he's like, I get to be the Bandit.
What was his name? You said Ricky Nelson, and now that's all I can think of. Hal Holbrook. I don't remember. Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
It was in my brain. I couldn't dig it out.
I remember that was a question I got on a Schmodown when I was competing against that one. Oh, wow. Either it's late or I'm an asshole.
drink some tea. It'll help.
All right. It was a question I got on an episode where I completely like ran the board. It was pretty legendary. Four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pink.
Pink. Pink is titles.
I will never remember
what
this.
What film contains the line, "George, will you turn off the record player?"
Oh, what?
I've not seen this.
Okay. George, will you turn off the record player? Oh.
I'll give you a director, just as a hint.
You don't have to.
No, but right. I want you to get sort of in the ballpark.
All right.
Blake Edwards.
Oh.
Yeah. See, we're dealing with like...
All right.
These are the things your parents were watching.
Victoria?
Tan. It was Tan.
Damn it, that was the other one I was thinking of. Fuck. All right.
One with Bo Derek.
Yes, the only thing I know about that movie is she runs on a beach and everyone had a poster of it.
Yeah, because she was wearing like a one-piece swimsuit. It was like really slim fitting, she looked fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And, you know.
Good for her, I say.
Three, one, two, three, one, two. Roll again. I will do roll again, and I will roll a five. It puts me back on pink, darn. Three, four, five. Give me another blue, please.
All right.
Blue is settings.
Oh, okay, this is kind of interesting. What planet was the sci-fi thriller Planet of Blood set on in the year 1990?
Oh, Mars.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You sussed that out, but yeah, you've never seen that movie.
Pretty easy. Planet of Blood.
Yeah.
Rolled a one, that puts me on roll again. Let me roll again. I got a, damn it, a four. Puts me on another roll again. Another four. I'll go back and forth between these two roll agains.
So fascinating, Whitney. You're making it fun for everybody.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Orange. Read me out.
All right. All right. Well, you're going to know this.
Portrayals.
Who played Popeye for Robert Altman?
Robin Williams.
Yes. And perfectly, I might add.
Okay. That movie sucks.
It sucks because it's so great. I love that movie. I will defend that movie to my dying day. I think that movie is legitimately brilliant.
That town that they built in Malta is still there.
I know. It's like an amusement park.
It's like a resort town.
It's a theme park. Yeah. You can go for a touristy trap thing.
You can get Popeye weddings.
I would if I could.
Yes, I rolled a six, which puts me on the brown chip. And I hope I get this one right. All right.
You're going to get this. What did flubber denote in 1961's The Absent-Minded Professor? What's the portmanteau?
Flying rubber.
Correct.
Yes.
Take your piece.
Okay. I have not seen the Robin Williams film Flubber, which was a remake of The Absent-Minded Professor.
Yeah.
There was another remake of The Absent-Minded Professor.
There was
in
a TV
80s.
Movie.
Yeah, TV movie. And I have seen that one.
With that guy from Night Court. The guy played who was the judge on Night Court?
Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson played the Absent-Minded Professor in that. I remember watching that when it was on TV. That was the version I knew.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see the Robin Williams one. I eventually saw the Absent-Minded Professor, the original.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but I haven't seen it in forever, so maybe it doesn't hold up. Yellow.
I rolled a one, and I'm landing on yellow. I have two chips. These are split into six equal parts. These little pies that you push around the board. Do you like to fill them in a certain order?
Always make it look like a nuclear symbol.
That's how you do it first.
Yeah, you got to do it like so it's evenly divided.
Orange, yellow, green, blue, brown. I like to do a rainbow order. Clockwise rainbow.
Roy G. Biv is a powerful man.
Okay. So I have a pink and a brown already.
You know, brown in rainbows. We should move on. Yellow, off screen. Who married aircraft worker Jim Doherty when she was 16?
Ooh. Claudette Colbert.
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I know Elvis better than I know Marilyn.
All right. Orange.
Orange for the chip. I hope you get it.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
Ooh, you might know this one.
Okay.
This is Orange's Portrayals.
All right.
Who played British Major Calloway in The Third Man?
Oh, no.
this is a tough one.
Oh, my God. Who played? Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. Yeah. Oh, fuck me.
Because he's not one of the third leads.
No, he's not. He's not one of the three leads. Well, he's like the fourth lead. Well, technically, he has more screen time than Orson Welles, so he's like the third lead. It's like, it's Calloway, not Callahan. What? Oh, fuck me. I do not fucking know.
His name is Trevor Howard.
Trevor Howard. Fuck. Yeah,
that's a tough one. That's a really hard one.
That wounds my soul. And if I had more than 4 hours sleep a night for the last three nights, I think I might have got that. But that's on me, not you.
You know what? Your lack of sleep means you are legally intoxicated. Nice. So we're playing drunk.
We're playing drunk?
We should take a shot every time we get a chip.
I'm drinking tea. That counts. Yes, caffeinate myself in the middle of the night. That'll help my sleeping disorder.
Why are you so anxious? I got rolled a two, which means I can choose from yellow, or orange. I'm going to choose orange. Orange, which is Portrayals.
Who played Private Dick Philo Vance?
Philo Vance. That's really familiar. Philo Vance. Oh, gosh. Why do I know that? I know this is scintillating to listen to. Just to hear us, sputter
everyone,
in frustration.
Everyone right now is doing what we kind of call ghosting, which is when...
They're yelling the answer out.
Yeah. Like, it's like being a ghost. You can control nothing, but you really... Like, someone out there was like, I know Philo Vance! Ah.
Philo Vance. Yeah, I don't know. It's not coming to me.
It was William Powell.
Okay.
What movie is that? I'm trying to... It was a whole series, I guess. A whole bunch.
Was it Johnny Dollar, was it?
No. Let me see what the first movie was, and I'll move on. That's the novels. That's the characters. Films. The Canary murder case, the Benson murder case, the Green murder case, the Bishop murder case.
I've not seen these movies.
William Powell wasn't in all of them. Okay. So I would have been forced, if you had guessed Basil Rathbone, I would have given it to you.
Okay.
Probably the other most famous person who played him. But yeah, William Powell played that guy in four separate movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Philo Vance mystery.
Before the Thin Man became a thing.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool. See, I learned something. That's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's a 15 movie franchise that nobody remembers.
The Philo Vance series.
So popular they made 15 of those bad boys over the course of almost 20 years.
Okay.
It wasn't like they cranked them all out. Like
those Blondie movies.
Or the Mr. Motos, yeah. Like where there was like a billion of them all at once. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
four of those in every year.
I learned something today.
This is why we play these old games. You know, Trivio is... mutates.
Don't
go. Okay, you rolled
a 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Don't go towards
six.
The blue. Go toward the yellow chip.
Yes, I remember that scene in Poltergeist. Don't go towards the blue.
You're on a brown. That is on screen.
Okay.
On screen, what percent of the action?
What?
What percent of the action in? Oh God.
What?
What percent of the action in Springtime for Hitler was sold? In the producers, what percentage?
To the investors.
Yeah, they.
Oh, that's so specific.
It's very specific.
I'm gonna say 200.
No, higher than that.
1,000.
It's 25,000.
Oh shit! Yeah. They are fucked.
Yeah, they sold 25,000%
of the profits
of the show,
hoping it would bomb and no one would get their profits.
There's that funny scene. Such it's a like, yeah, movie. She invested 50. She invested 50. She invested 50. She invested 100. How much percentage have we sold? You can only ever sell 100% of anything. How much did we sell? 25,000%.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. I'm coming back to me. I'm going to roll. I'm going to... Oh, I rolled a 3. 1, 2, 3. I landed on pink next to the blue chip. That is titles. Read me a question.
Okay, here we go. What film did producer Irwin Allen note of... In the first 6 minutes, 1,400 people are killed, and only the stars survive.
Earthquake.
The Poseidon Adventure.
Ah, damn it.
I thought that was an easy one. All right. Yeah, because the earthquake can't last the whole movie.
No.
Like a two-hour earthquake? My God.
Well, he said just in the first couple of minutes,
No, I know,
right?
But like, you know, the earthquake would... Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Did Irwin Allen even do Earthquake, or was that...
Earthquake might have been one of the knockoffs.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't know, it's hard to tell. All right, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, orange.
Also orange, that is portrayals. Who scored a Best Supporting Actor Oscar as Father Fitzgibbon in Going My Way?
Oh, fuck. Barry Fitzgerald.
Yes!
Yes! Sorry, I just blew out everyone's headphones because I clapped. No. Sorry, but fuck yes.
Yes,
he was also nominated for Best Actor that year for the same role. And they had to change the rules afterwards to make it so you can't be both, which is why we now have category fraud.
Yes.
Where people get to choose which one they're going for in case it's an easier category that year. Right. 3, pink.
Hey, you're on the pink chip. Let's go for the chip question. T-I-T. What film saw the wounded Shears drag himself from the river to foil the disconnecting of explosives affixed to a bridge?
The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You got a chip.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and I'll let you place it in your pie.
Thank you very much.
So you now also have two chips.
Great. All right. I get, that's my third, I think. I get two more. All right. 5.
Roll again. Or
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right.
Six.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Pink.
Another pink. Titles. Which Planet of the Apes movies... which of the Planet of the Apes movies saw Earth destroyed?
That would be Beneath the Planet
that
of the Apes.
Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
That's the one with the underground mutants who worship the nuclear bomb.
Yes.
That movie is awful, and I love it. Like it's
I love
so
the last
crazy.
Half hour.
Yeah.
Until then, it's just a crappy knockoff of the first one, but not as good. Okay. And then it goes completely bizarre in the third act.
Bonus question. Who played the knockoff Charlton Heston?
Oh, it was the Finder of Lost Loves. Who was the Finder of Love?
This is just
Tony Franciosa.
No, it was James Franciscus.
Oh! Yeah. I had a France in there.
You're close.
Yeah. I wasn't mad. I was just wrong. All right, six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Roll again. Three.
Gosh darn.
Roll again.
You can do that roll again.
No.
But I'll you're just going do, toward the pink one you already have. All right. This is on screen. Mm. What was the name of the TV quiz show in Woody Allen's Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask?
Oh, I have no idea. Could not even begin. I'll try to come up with something. Who's that wiener?
Close. It's What's Your Perversion?
Oh. Great. Well, that question aged weird.
I saw that film at way too young an age.
I think we all did.
Maybe 10 or 11 when I saw Woody Allen.
Well, it's your turn now. It would have been your turn if I had gotten it right, but
all
it's your turn
Let's see here. I rolled a 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read me a brown question, please.
On screen.
That is on screen.
What did a startled Miss Liberty, the Columbia torchbearer, lift her skirts to find at the beginning of The Mouse That Roared? But they would be a little specific about it.
It was a mouse.
Give me a color. That's what they want.
Oh, was it a white mouse?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. They asked for a white mouse. I have to give the game what it wants. Otherwise, it will devour our souls. I have to feed the beast.
I had a pretty hip teacher in high school. They showed us The Mouse That Roared in class.
That's fun.
Yeah. So I'm in between the orange and the blue, and I have neither of those. I need a 3 or a 4 to land on one of those. I rolled a 6, of course. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So roll again. Okay. On the other side of the blue. Now I need a 2 to get back on the blue. I rolled another 5. That puts me on brown. I have that one already. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll give me a yellow.
Okay, yellow. Off screen. Who had her highly insured right leg immortalized in cement outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Centuries.
Betty Grable.
What?
Betty Grable.
Oh my God. Okay.
I guess the right one was the good one.
I suppose so.
I don't know what was.
Could have sworn it was Century. Sorry.
I would go for both equally, frankly.
Okay. Listeners, look up any photograph of Sid Charisse. There is a 90% chance she's showing off her thigh.
Betty Grable's right leg. That's what I'm Googling right now.
Wouldn't it be funny if it, like a
hosiery specialists of the era often noted the ideal proportions of Grable's legs and thighs.
Really?
That's... Okay, well, I mean, she... Oh my God, there's a picture in Life magazine of them drawing on her leg to show just how proportioned they are. This is weird.
That's a little sexist, isn't it?
You guys made it weird, okay? Yeah. We're all having a good time, and you made it weird. All right, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Orange.
Orange.
And for the
chip. Oh, and this is for the chip. All right, you made it onto orange. and this you're going to get this one.
Okay.
Orange's portrayals. Who played the flipped out gonzo photographer in Apocalypse Now?
Dennis Hopper.
That's right. Yeah. You get a chip.
All right.
I'm going to have to check the back of that one.
All right. Here we go.
And there you go. Now that you have 3, you did. You made them like a biohazard symbol.
Of course,
now when you get your 4th.
But I don't like that one of them's pink because then it doesn't pop. Because
you're playing
that last.
The pink chip.
I know. Yeah. This is what you get when you're playing games in your OCD. Okay. Pink.
Pink. That is titles. What 1942 film saw Ronald Reagan inquire, "Where's the rest of me?"
Bedtime for Bonzo?
No. Oh, I don't know this film.
What is it?
It's not the one I was thinking of. King's Row.
We did that one for the... On our Best Picture podcast for Patreon, King's Row was nominated for Best Picture. We just talked about it in an episode of The Iron List when I talked about film scores. That was the one where it was like a small town mental health thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ronald Reagan played a supporting character who was in like a mining accident and lost like his leg or both of his legs, I think.
Totally forgot about all that.
Yeah, I forgot he was in that too, actually. It's not a very memorable film, quite frankly. But yeah, no, okay, go. But fair game. That's the kind of thing I want from a 1983 Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, King's Row, reminded of that one. It's my turn. I rolled a 5.
And that puts you on orange?
Not quite. I needed a 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can get another roll again over on the other side of blue. 2.
For blue.
Give me one I can answer.
I'll try.
Settings, and I get a chip if I get it right.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Yeah, you're going to get this. What 1977 hit was set at...
Sorry.
Final answer?
No.
Okay. What 1977 hit was set at the 2001 disco?
2001 disco?
That's the name of the disco.
1977.
The movie was 1977.
Was it Saturday Night Fever?
Yes, it was.
All right.
Okay. Congratulations. I have your blue chip.
I forgot the name of the disco. Like you said, it's 2001. Not, yeah. Is this a science fiction film with dancing? This is not Xanadu.
I would pay to see that, yeah. But yeah.
So pink, orange, yellow, green, blue, brown. I got to put it there. Okay. So now mine is like half full.
Okay. So he has created half a pie.
Yes.
I have created a nuclear fallout symbol.
Little semicircle.
That's how we play differently. This is what you... This is the podcast, yeah. Folks. You want more? Let us know.
I rolled a six, which brings me over to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Green.
Green. Okay.
That is production.
Oh. Oh. Huh. How many sketches made up the movie Plaza Suite? I'm guessing it's like an anthology.
Yeah,
film,
yeah. So. I'm gonna say six.
Three.
Never mind. All right.
All right. I do not know that movie. No, look up that movie. Tell me about that movie. Look up it on film. I've never heard of that before in my life. Six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Roll again.
Four.
Roll again on the other side of the
trying
yellow.
To get this yellow.
Hovering the yellow. Three. Dang
poop.
It.
Oh no! Roll again. All right. I was against this, but now I just wanted
this brown on the
okay,
other
brown
side.
Then.
Okay,
brown me, buddy.
This is on screen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's another Apocalypse Now question. Oh. What was the crew member named Chief killed by in Apocalypse Now? What would somebody be killed by in Apocalypse Now?
Well, I imagine guns, explosions, landmines, napalm. Drowning.
I think this is the character played by Lawrence Fishburne.
I think it was two, and I'm really struggling to remember how his character died. I'm going to say stabbed.
You know what? I'm going to give you that. It says a spear. You can be stabbed by a spear.
Okay, yeah, okay, cool. All right. Thank you. That's generous of you. All
of
right.
course.
Two. I'm going to take brown again.
Brown again.
All right.
Mostly on
look
screen.
Up Plaza Suite.
God, more Apocalypse Now. That's
weird. Okay.
Plaza Suite is Neil Simon. How many of Captain Willard's escorts survive in Apocalypse Now?
How many of Captain Willard's escorts? One?
Just one.
Yep.
Got
okay.
it. All right, roll again.
Yeah. Two.
Two. Gosh,
okay,
darn it.
Blue.
Blue.
All right.
Settings.
Yeah. Plaza Suite has Walter Matthau, Maureen Stapleton, Barbara Harris, Lee Grant, and that's people in a suite hanging out, doing their suite things.
It's like David Lynch's hotel room.
Yeah, it's all in the same room. Yeah.
Anyway, settings. What film's climax took place on the main street of Hadleyville on a Sunday?
Oh, I know that. Hadleyville. Oh my god, I can hear people just say that.
Guessing. Oh no, that's
Hadleyville on a Sunday.
If I gave you the, here's your hint. If I gave you the time, you'd know what movie it was.
11:27 p.m. The movie.
No.
I do not know.
High noon.
Mother. Yeah. We have discovered recently that we're not big fans of that movie.
Not a big fan of High Noon.
I know why it's historically significant. I don't think it holds up very good. Yeah.
No, just leave. Leave the town.
Well,
who cares?
Yeah, it's overwrought and it undermines itself because it wants to take the plot seriously.
Yeah.
All right, four.
I rolled a four. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have
again?
The blue 1, 2, 3, 4. Sure, I'm gonna go for a roll again. If I roll a 5, I land an orange.
Okay.
For the chip, and I don't have it. I rolled a 1, so I'm gonna give me a yellow.
Okay.
That's off screen.
Okay. Who fathered? This is off screen. Who fathered Mia Farrow's twins? Which is a weird and I think very sexist way of putting that.
Yeah.
He fathered them.
Fathered them.
Yeah.
Andre Previn?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like, just personal life.
Yeah, okay. I don't... It's, it's really none of our goddamn business. Put it that way. Like, when, like, who are, right?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Well, okay. I mean, it's like celebrity gossip. And also, it's like personal say, life stuff.
I'm just saying no one doing. Would phrase it that way now. It just reads not, weird. Yeah. Yeah.
Who fathered Beyonce's child?
Whoever she wanted, I guess.
What is he siring these children like a racehorse? Two, roll again. And I'm going to do two more to get that orange. Please roll two. That is a five. Gosh darn it. So I'm going to do pink.
Okay.
Give me a pink on the other side of the orange.
What 1962 film saw the president's choice for Secretary of State causing a division in the Senate and a senator to end their own life?
Oh.
Very dramatic.
I don't think I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
62?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's I think it's a film you've heard of.
Okay.
And it's very political, as you can tell. It's all about politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this one.
Want to take a stab at it? No.
No, I couldn't say.
Advise and Consent.
Oh, yeah. Who directed that one?
That was that guy. You know that guy who used to drive that blue car?
Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah, that guy. You know
him. I think I was going to say Sidney Lumet, but I don't think that's
correct. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, Brown.
1, 2, 3, 4, Brown. On screen, what did the H stand for in The Story of Adele H? We're getting some deep cuts here. I couldn't tell you the answer to this one either.
Honoré.
This is a good guess. It's actually Hugo.
Oh.
Another French author.
Okay, that was... Yeah. I was going for Balzac. It's a little...
Honoré de Balzac, little, Victor Hugo. For
little,
both
little
French
immature.
Adele H.
A little bit of a joke, but all right.
All right, so back to me.
Yeah.
I'm in between the orange and the yellow chips.
You want a three or a four?
And I want a three or a four to get to
You can do it, buddy.
Please. I got a one. But let's roll again.
Okay.
So now it needs to be a two or a five.
Yes. This is scintillating podcasting.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Five. Yes. All right. All right,
yellow.
I'm on yellow.
Off screen.
Ask me an easy one for off screen.
I'll try it. God, I think I need glasses. Okay. Who noted, after divorcing Vittorio Gassman and Tony Franciosa...
Okay.
You'd think I'd have learned after the first Italian. Which is a hell of a line. It is a hell of a line.
Oh, gosh.
I would never have known this, but it is someone famous. So.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah, like, it, you know their name. You know, you've seen their movies.
Mae West.
Shelley Winters.
Shelley Winters. Ah. It's a very Shelley Winters thing to say, isn't
very
it?
Very much so, yeah. All right. One, two, three,
you're on
four.
Five. You don't want to go toward pink because you have
one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm on pink anyway.
The other direction, pink.
Yeah.
Titles. What movie featured actor Ned Beatty claiming the world is now one vast ecumenical holding company?
I want to say it's Network.
It's Network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good one. Great speech in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I already have the orange. I'm hovering
orange,
around the yellow just trying to get the right number. Brown again.
All right. On screen, what was the name of the cartoon strip that Jack Lemmon drew in How to Murder Your Wife?
Oh, God, I have no idea. Heathcliff. Which explains a lot about Heathcliff.
It was him. Have you read Heathcliff recently?
I love Heathcliff recently. Yeah. Heathcliff is so fucking weird.
Heathcliff in the 80s, no. It's not
boring
funny.
Strip, just a generic one-panel strip.
At some point, it like went way off-center, like even further than the far side.
It's like there's a social media account I follow that's just called Actual Heathcliff Comics, and it's just, here's what Heathcliff was today, and it was like Heathcliff walking down the street with a helmet on that says meat, and then two people seeing Heathcliff saying something like, ah, it's another meat day, and that's it.
Yeah.
I do not know what to make of you, Heathcliff. Well, I want to get a Heathcliff tattoo, actually. This is a very particular drawing of him jumping. I kind of want to get that. I don't know.
The one I've seen, it was Heathcliff with that. There's a lot of helmets.
And yeah, I don't know
walking
why.
Walking down the street,
I do not understand
wearing a helmet that says bro.
Yeah.
There is a smaller animal, I think it's a mouse, next to him with also a hat that also says bro.
Yeah.
There are two birds on a nearby tree watching them. They both have helmets on that say bro.
Uh-huh.
The caption is one of the birds saying bro.
It's legitimately genius.
They're just like deconstructing the comic form right in front of you. It's fantastic.
I seriously, people need to know. It bothers me how few people love Heathcliff right now. Okay, moving on.
Anyway, I missed the yellow chip, so I have
you did.
To
well, roll. I wouldn't say I'm missing it, Bob.
Let's see, I rolled a 6. That right. I'm going to put myself toward the orange, but that is a green okay. space. Ask me a green question.
Who directed Bette Davis in Jezebel, The Letter, and The Little Foxes? And I know you've seen all three of those.
I have seen all three of those. Oh gosh.
Very famous.
Wyler.
William Wyler?
William Wyler.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
This isn't Jeopardy. You got to get it all in there.
No, you can say last names on Jeopardy.
I said this isn't Jeopardy. Okay.
Yes, William Wyler. No, Shecky Wyler.
Yeah.
How many other Wylers are there?
Do you remember that one Schmodown where someone was like, this movie takes... What movie... The answer was like the 1990s is when a movie takes place, and someone said the 90s, and someone challenged and said, well, they could have meant the 1890s, so how do we know they're correct? And I'm like, dude.
The question
had like modern technology in it. What do you think? Can we cut people a little slack? We're getting really weird.
We're getting into like shorts by the Lumiere brothers. Yeah. What are we talking about here? Yeah. All right, so I want a 1 or a 6 to land on either orange or yellow.
All right.
I rolled a 5. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, we're on the same spot.
Oh, you want to stack us? What are we doing?
Here we are. Stack us.
Nice. King
B. We're on a brown spot here.
All right.
That's on screen.
How many saboteurs were killed in the assault in the Guns of Navarone?
Three?
Close. Two.
Two.
Only two. Hmm. You'd think more.
Yeah. I like the
Guns. One. Oh, yellow.
Guns of Navarone is good, like, Men on a Mission kind of
movie. It's a really good Men on a Mission movie, actually. The 60s were lousy with those. Yeah. You know, Dirty Dozen, Great Escape, all these, like, ensembles.
This is off screen.
Yes, and this is for the chip.
I'm starting to hate this category, by the way.
Oh,
I'm trying to get this
and move the fuck on. Off screen is really off-screen. Hard.
Whose screen memoirs were recounted in The Road to Hollywood? Who wrote a memoir?
I assume it's someone who was in the Road movie. So I'm going to say Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Yes!
You're right. You got a chip.
There we go.
Well done.
All right. Hang on. There we go. All right. Moving on. Thank you again.
You got the yellow question.
All right.
You want to head toward orange. No, you have orange.
I have all of these. I need to get the other side of the board, so I'm going to go straight through the middle.
Strength center. Ooh, right. daring move. See if this pays off for you. It's production. Who directed Humphrey Bogart in Across the Pacific?
Ooh.
These are really obscure.
That's...
Okay, who?
John Ford?
Guess again.
No. I get one. Come on.
John Huston.
Okay. Ah, so close. The
other one.
Yeah. All of the directors in Hollywood from henceforth be called Johns.
John Huston, who just worked with Bogart in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Again, I'm still between those yellow and the orange. Right, one, yeah, I'm on yellow.
Let's get you out of here, my friend.
Please give me the yellow question.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if this is still true. Mm. Okay.
Well, in 83.
No, actually, I think it might still be. Okay. Right. Who's copped, weird phrasing, the most Best Actress Oscars? Lead actress.
Lead actress. In 83?
83.
It's either Bette Davis or Greer Garson. Bette Davis.
Winner.
Oh, that's just nominees.
Yeah, you were going by nominees. I can tell. I want to make sure you understood the question.
Who won the best? The most number, best actress in 1983.
Which I can tell you the number.
How many?
Four.
Four. Jeez. So yeah, Bette Davis and Greer Garson were tied for nominations, but Bette Davis only won three times, I think.
I'm not even sure she won three, but yeah, twice I think. Hmm. Maybe three. You're gonna punch yourself if you don't get this.
Norma Shearer. No.
Dude, you can't just pick your girlfriend.
What? I love Norma Shearer.
Catherine Hepburn.
Catherine, of course, Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, it was Morning Glory.
Lion and Winter.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? And I think on Golden Pond had already come out.
Oh, by 83, I guess. What did it have? Yeah. I was like, I was casting my mind too far back. Yeah, if you land in the center hub, you get to pick the category.
I know. Yeah.
This is portrayals. Who played Lieutenant Frederick Henry in 1937's Farewell to Arms?
Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
Yes.
Well done.
All right. We watched that for our Oscars podcast. Five. All right. Where do I want to go here?
You want to head toward the brown chip or the green
they're pretty,
chip,
okay,
and they're next
so
to each
one,
other.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pink. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, God. Pink. I'm not
pink.
I want to stay the fuck away from yellow.
Titles. What movie featured the line, "If there's anything I hate, it's leeches, filthy little devils"?
The Leech Woman.
Close. No, it's not The Leech Woman.
Oh, what is it?
The African Queen.
Ah, that tracks.
Yeah.
With Katharine Hepburn.
With Katharine Hepburn.
It all comes together.
Stupid Katharine Hepburn. I'm going to hate her now.
Oh, fuck you. Right, Katharine Hepburn's great.
Of course she is. I just hate that I missed that question. Okay, if I rolled a 5, that puts me on a roll again.
Sure does.
And I need a 5 or a 2 to get back on a
chip. You just got to get out of this goddamn corner.
6. Jeez. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'll take the brown.
Yeah, you do not want that yellow if you can avoid it. All right, here we go.
I'm on a brown that's on screen.
Okay, this is just yes or no.
All right.
Was Mrs. Robinson's first name ever mentioned in the film The Graduate?
No.
Correct.
Right. Couldn't that be my chip question?
Unless her first name was Mrs. It's the kind of name you expect your kid to grow into.
She could have been named Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
When she gets married, she'd be Mrs. Robinson.
It's like naming your kid Justice, like just in case they become a Supreme Court Justice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Give me another brown question.
Okay, my God.
Another on-screen question.
What actress bathed while Gregory Peck hid in her shower? Jesus. In 1966's Arabesque.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I haven't seen Arabesque.
Who was considered a very sexy actress in the 1960s?
Liz Taylor.
I mean, I guess, but no, it was Sophia Loren.
Oh, okay.
Sophia Loren. All right. What have we got? 2.
You're on the brown.
Brown shit. Yeah, all right, let's do it.
I figured you'd skunk me at this game, but
here
we go.
Well, no, it's just luck. I was where you were a couple rolls ago.
That's true. Okay, we're on screen. What was the name of the beheaded thoroughbred in The Godfather?
What was the name of the horse?
The name of the horse they killed.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know. Oh, gosh. Oh, here's a hint. It's also a film title. Single word film title.
Jezebel.
Khartoum was the name of the horse.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a very specific title.
You never would have gotten to that one.
If you asked me what for one word titles, Khartoum would not be in my top 100.
Here's what I know about Khartoum. It was the last film for like many decades to be shot in like 70mm format.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's like a technical piece of trivia about Khartoum.
I interviewed Michael Giacchino about the movie John Carter, and I asked him like what sound he was going for, but it was over the phone, and he got kind of garbled, and it sounded like he said, "I just wanted to sound like Khartoum," and I was like, "Really?" So I called the publicist. I almost never did this. Could you check to make sure I heard that correctly? And he said, "No, I said Barsoom, which is the name of the Martian civilization." So I was like,
for a sound of this obscure movie.
Maybe he likes the way that movie sounds. Who knows? John Williams took the Star Wars inspiration theme from King's Row.
Oh, there you go.
Who would know? All right.
I need a...
That was terrible grammar. Took the Star Wars inspiration theme. My God.
Only can good happen. Here we go.
Oh, God.
What, one or six? That's a...
Four.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's a roll again.
It sucks when you're trapped. It's like you're in a baseball pickle.
4, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's another roll again. Give me a 2, please. That is a 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Back to the other roll again.
And Donald goes in where the other has been.
Give me another 2 or a 5. That's a 5. Yes. Gosh darn it, but it's the yellow.
Okay, we gotta get out of here.
I hate this yellow category.
Off-screen stuff. No. You got this. What does MGM stand for?
Metro Golden Mare.
Boom!
All right, finally.
You're free.
All right.
You never have to take a yellow again.
Never have to take a yellow.
There you go.
So I need to go back to... I need orange and I need green. And those are on opposite ends of the board.
But, you know, just take a...
Just go back and forth. Yeah. So let's see what I can do here. I'll roll. Oh, 6. Perfect. You know, right into the middle.
What category do you want?
Orange. Portrayals.
Okay. Who was gilded... as Jill Masterson in Goldfinger, the one who got dyed by gold.
Who was gilded?
Yeah, remember she got killed by being painted gold?
Who was the actress? Oh, I forgot her name.
Mm. Yeah. Anything stabbed?
That Twiggy, I don't remember.
I mean, she'd have been good. Shirley Eaton.
I would not have been able to.
I don't think I could have pulled
that
either. Yeah. All right, 1. Oh, fuck.
Yellow. All right. Okay. Here we go. Off screen, who was the first screen actress to have her name posted in marquee light?
Oh,
that's kind of a.
Is it someone I know?
So you definitely know this person.
Okay,
she's legendary.
Okay,
first person, Clara
Bow.
That's a good guess.
Who was it?
Mary Pickford.
All right. That is a really interesting piece of trivia. I wonder if you can prove that, but that's still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
It's probably apocryphal. It sounds apocryphal.
It sounds like the kind of thing that would be difficult to prove that no one had ever had before, once, but. Whatever, print the legend, right?
I remember the first time I discovered, speaking of Clara Bow, discovered the movie It.
Yeah.
And it's...
Not the Stephen King movie, the silent movie. Yeah,
with Clara Bow, and that's where we get the phrase It Girl. And I knew the term.
Yeah.
And I knew I could intuit what it meant. It's like, oh, you just have that it quality. This je ne sais quoi, something you can't describe.
In a vacuum, it still kind of makes sense.
But I didn't realize that was in direct reference to the movie It, because she has it. She has that quality.
Yeah, which is why we now have the it clown.
That clown has that it quality.
Like, who's the most famous funny man right now, or funny person, I guess?
I'm going to go for...
They're the it clown.
I rolled a 2 from the center. I could go toward orange, but that would put me on yellow, and I hate that category now. Yeah. So I'm going to go to brown toward the green chip.
On screen, what was Woody Allen's occupation in Play It Again, Sam?
He was a detective, wasn't he?
No, he fantasized about being a detective. Yeah. His occupation was a film critic.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Giving us all a bad name. All right, here we go. Two.
And you're in between two you don't have, so you're in a good spot here. This is titles. What film featured John Wayne, Earl Holliman, and Michael Anderson as revenge-seeking brothers?
Three Godfathers?
No, The Sons of Katie Elder.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
John Wayne is another pretty big... Yeah. Like, I've seen...
Well, he was in so many movies. Yeah. He was in a staggering amount of movies. You know the famous ones. You forget all, like, the dozens he was in between them.
Yeah.
Also, in retrospect, I know what Three Godfathers is about. That's not it at all, but it's late. Cut me some slack. All right.
I need a 4 if I want to get on that green chip. Level 4.
Hey!
1, 2, 3, 4. Read me a production question.
Oh, Christ, you're going to get this. What film was pushed with the line, like promoted, in space, no one can hear you scream?
Oh, gosh. What was that one with, that penis with teeth? And it stopped.
That leaves me open for a lot of punchlines, and I'm not going to take any of them out of respect.
That movie with the, what was that Veronica Cartwright movie?
The Birds?
was Veronica Cartwright?
Yeah, I think that's like a child actor.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was Alien.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott's Alien. I love Alien.
Alien's a great movie.
If you look really closely at Veronica Cartwright's profile, and this is a cool piece of trivia, somebody pointed this out to me, the character is trans.
Yeah, it's only revealed in Aliens, but when they show like the list, everyone's profiles of everyone who died on the Nostromo, very specifically says her character was trans.
Yeah, like transitioned at some point in her life, and it's like, oh, great.
Yeah, really cool, actually. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have to like pause it in the sequel.
Yeah, people didn't notice that for a long time, but it's still in there. It's still canon.
Yeah. Be a little bit more upfront next time. So I have one chip left.
Yes, I
need
two.
To get down to orange, but that's on the absolute opposite end
of the
board.
Yeah, but it's a straight line. You're going to get there.
So I'm going to go straight up the middle. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You read me a pink question,
please. All right,
what...
Hold on. I want to make sure I'm reading this right. What film had a computer predicting that an AE-35 unit would fail within 72 hours?
That's got to be 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That is correct. All right. It's a pretty specific for a 2001 question. I don't think that's usually not the one that comes up. So.
Let's see. Oh, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm one spot away from that orange chip, but it's green. Read me a green.
What did Viva and Louis Walden do for 35 uninterrupted minutes, the longest take in movie history at the time, in Andy Warhol's Blue Movie?
They kissed.
No, they made love.
Ooh.
It wasn't even sex either. I guess they loved each other. Because they said they made love.
They made love.
Yes.
Okay. A little personal question. I watched the Newlywed Game when I was a kid.
Yes.
The old Chuck Barris version. So they tried to make it as filthy as possible.
Yeah. Within TV lines, there was a lot of euphemisms. Yeah.
And for having... They couldn't say have sex or engage in sexual intercourse or coitus. They just had... They said making whoopee.
Yeah.
Well, when you're making whoopee...
Like, don't forget, folks. Yeah. That's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
For making whoopee. And,
we really should bring that back.
Making whoopee? No.
Oh, baby, I want you. Why don't we go back to your place and make whoopee?
I mean, it sounds so childish.
I know, right? It's ridiculous. Patton Oswalt had a whole bit like that when you try to use like cute euphemisms for sex, it sounds so much worse.
Yeah. But they also use the term making love.
Ah.
And as a kid, without a lot of knowledge of sex, I thought those were two separate sexual levels of some kind.
Some people still think that, actually.
Yeah, like, they like, think that that's making like, love is a specific, like different a, kind like of physical level act.
I think the implication is that there's an emotional intensity to it, while simply having sex could be merely for pleasure.
Yeah.
I think that's just your personal definition. There's no like rule about that or anything, but some people, you know, still go with that.
Anyway,
like the difference between I love you and I'm in love with you. Some people attach more weight to one than the other, you know?
All right, you landed on Orange, which is portrayals. Who played the transport truck driver in Lonely or the Brave? These are some deep cuts here.
Oh. Was that Humphrey Bogart?
No, it was Carol O'Connor.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh. What am I thinking of?
Carol O'Connor's a very good actor.
Mm.
I have gotten to write up a lot about Carol O'Connor in for All in the Family.
Mm.
Just because that was his famous role. And he has like spoken out repeatedly against Archie Bunker.
Mm.
Just like, no, he's not a happy guy.
I was thinking of In a Lonely Place.
Lonely, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, I need a one to land on this orange chip, and that's my last one. I rolled a five.
Damn it. The podcast doesn't want to end.
You know, I'm going to go back to the middle.
Okay,
what you got? So I risk landing on a yellow question. You know what? Give me blue. Give me settings.
What? Oh, God. What damn was the setting for the climax of the 1950 melodrama 7-Eleven Ocean Drive? You know, that classic everyone still talks about?
What is that?
I will look it up while you answer this question. But I'm gonna
guess it's Hoover Dam.
Yeah, the only dam. The only dam anyone can name. No, unless you live next to a dam. There's a dam actually not that far from us called Hanson Dam.
Mm.
And my dad used to run motorcycle rides there. Like a whole bunch of British motorcycle enthusiasts would show up and they would all do a big motorcycle ride along the Hanson Dam. And my dad... this is going to explain a lot about me. His catchphrase that he promoted, we had it on shirts.
Uh-huh.
It's the best ride by a dam site. Do you see? I didn't come from nothing. I didn't spring fully formed. I was made this way. What was it? 7-Eleven Ocean Drive.
7-Eleven.
I've never heard of this movie in my life.
7-Eleven Ocean Drive.
Okay, here we go.
William's O'Brien. On his laptop here looking it up.
Oh, interesting. It is a crime film noir about gambling, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. It's about rigging a racetrack somehow. Oh. I'll try to use that, but all right.
So it's my turn again. I'm going to roll a 3, 1, 2, 3. Read me a pink question that is titles.
Which film offered the line in exchange for what we may never know? I am not going to stand here and see that thing cut open and see that little Kimmer boy spill out.
That's Jaws.
That is Jaws.
All right, yeah. All right, so I'm 3 away. I rolled a 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That puts me on a roll again, though.
Sure does, Whitney.
Give me a 2, please. That is a 2.
All right, well, here we go.
All right, I'm on... Oh, have I reached my limit yet? Of, like, how many questions I get to have in a row?
No, you're okay.
All right.
What deaf and blind scholar... played herself in 1919's Deliverance.
Helen Keller?
Yes.
All right.
Never. I did not know that. That's
know
really
in
cool.
All right, but
she was in a movie called Deliverance in 1919. Hold on, I'm gonna look this up. This is really interesting, actually. Deliverance, 1919. What is this? It's a biopic of Helen Keller.
And she plays herself.
I don't think she plays herself.
Oh, interesting.
No, she does play herself.
Okay.
There's a Helen Keller biopic where Helen Keller and Anne Sullivan play themselves.
What is this movie?
What the fuck? It is a feature film.
1919 this came out.
I can't believe I've never heard of this. Thank you, Trivial Pursuit Silver Screen Edition.
Introduce
that is an amazing piece of trivia.
And you know what? I got my last chip. You know what? I will see.
No. That's not how it works. We've been going for a while. This is a goodly podcast. What have we got here? It's over an hour long.
All right. So I'm going to move to green. Okay. Read me a question for
How many movies had Barbara Streisand appeared in before copping her first Oscar?
How many did she? None.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
That means she won an Oscar for her first performance. It's just a weird way to.
But she was. That. But that movie would have come out before she won the Oscar, so it should be one. Are we going off of before the movie came out or before she won the Oscar? Before I would the argue, movie came out. But they said before she won the Oscar, so I would argue the answer is one. But whatever.
The spirit of the thing remains the same.
I'm not pulling a schmo down. I'm not going to challenge it. I'm saying, to my way of thinking, that's a very badly worded question because there could be two answers that are perfectly valid. All right. You got a five to win.
I got a two. All right,
here we go.
I'm heading up to the middle here.
You're gonna.
I'm three spots away from the center here, that's gonna be like the victory spot.
I
have to get a question right. Do I have to land on by exact roll?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You have to land up by exact roll, and you don't get to pick the category. You roll a dice, and we pick the corresponding category.
Just one die.
Correct. Apologies, but also you're gonna know this again because of our Oscars podcast.
Well, I might not.
Yeah, what 1957 film had Marlon Brando as an American Air Force officer falling for a Japanese girl after World War II?
Oh, that's Sayonara.
It is Sayonara. Yeah,
okay. Big, lavish production. Not a good movie.
Not really a good movie, no.
It's one of those well-meaning films. Yeah. Trying to talk about prejudice, but not getting it quite right.
No, because he still had, like, Ricardo Montalban playing a Japanese man in it. And it's like, oh, yeah, you're not really putting your money where your mouth is.
Not doing it quite well. If I roll a three, I'm going to be on the center here. I rolled a three. One, two, three.
Now you got to roll the dice.
All right, so one blue, we're just gonna go two straight pink, down. And onward. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to roll a die. I rolled a three. That's yellow!
Yellow! I might still have a chance.
Oh, gosh, off screen. Okay.
What British actor left his legacy on the signs of a fast food fish and chips chain?
Fish and chips chain.
I guess if you were, British, this would be a chain of popular restaurants.
Yeah,
but we didn't have them here, I don't think.
Well, I don't know if fish and chips chains. Well,
big British actor, I guess.
British in Britain in the 1980s.
Pick a British actor. He left his legacy.
Niven's
like Waldo just dropped his cane.
Niven's fish and chips.
It was Arthur Treacher.
Oh, that was my second guess.
You know Arthur Treacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was in that movie. That one time.
Treacher's Treasures.
Finder's Treacher's.
If my name was Treacher, I'd start a show called Treacher's Treasures.
All right, here we go.
So you still have two chips to go here.
All right, you can always sweep it.
So
1, 2, 3, 4.
We got blue. All right, here's settings. What land's shores was Gulliver shipwrecked on in 1939's Gulliver's Travels?
Well, initially it was Lilliput.
Yes.
Okay. Six. Damn it. All right. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'll roll again. On the other side of brown, roll a two, and you get the brown
chip. All right. You have to ask me the question. Oh, that's right. I'm going to roll again.
Roll again is not a category, unfortunately.
Well, I think it should be. Will you roll again? Yes, you get to go. All right, four, which gets you roll again on the other side of the brown.
Four again. Just do this all night. Keep rolling fours. One.
Damn it. Okay, six. Orange.
Orange. This is portrayals. Who played the title role in Here Comes Mr. Jordan?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie too. Who the hell plays?
Oh, yeah.
Is it William Powell? No. Dick Powell.
It's Claude Rains.
Oh, Mr. Jordan was the angel. Yeah. I was thinking about the boxer.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Claude Rains.
That's a trick question. They got me, though. Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. They got me. That's fair.
So do I roll to stay, or do I have to go back off and back on?
In my house, you had to roll. You had to get off and get back on again.
Oh, gosh.
But we can play your rules. Do you want to just stay because you're there? I'm literally rolling the dice.
I'm so way ahead of you. If I say yes, I want to stay, that just puts me at an advantage. I'm going to leave it to you.
No. It's an hour and 13 minute podcast right now.
Okay, let's stay in. Then.
We can roll the dice as long as we need. Or we can do the thing where I get to pick and I just keep giving you yellows.
I'm going to roll the die.
Okay, I thought maybe you might.
Four. That's a brown. That's on screen. Let's see what I can do.
On screen, what was Peter Blood's pre-pirate profession?
Peter Blood? Oh, Captain Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Accountant.
He was a doctor.
He was a doctor. I know he was very studious.
Yes, that's why he loved Blood so much.
there you go.
Two. Oh, God.
Two. Right, oh, look, he landed on brown. No.
Roll again. Four. One, two, three. Roll again. Oh, no.
You either do yellow or roll again, which is farther away.
So far away. I'm just gonna risk it. I gotta take a stab.
Off screen.
Yeah.
What actress caused Dori Previn to write the bitter Beware of Young Girls? I don't know why that's when the word.
Bitter. I assume it's Mia Farrow.
Yeah, it was Mia Farrow.
Okay. All right, two.
Gosh darn it.
Okay, orange.
Orange again. Portrayals. Who played the title role in The Flim Flam Man? Couldn't tell you this. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what sounds like a decent guess. Walter Matthau.
George C. Scott.
Ah.
You could picked a good brassy actor.
Yeah. Gotta love them brass. Yeah, so all right, here we go.
That's gonna four again. This is another brown. On right. screen for the win. Here we go.
You're gonna know this. All right. It was good podcast, everybody. Good podcast. All right. What did Jack Lemmon use to strain spaghetti in The Apartment?
It was a tennis racket.
It was a tennis racket. Congratulations, Whitney.
Yay.
Whitney wins the first ever. This ain't no game.
Yeah, the 1983 silver screen edition of Trivial Pursuit. That went quicker than I remember the classic games going. Because
we know what we're talking about. We hit some walls there, but like, we knew most of the questions.
Also, there's only two of us. We would play like four or five players.
Also true. That's true. But yeah, no, and oftentimes you play with someone who like, not everyone's good at trivia or like, and especially when it's less focused.
Yeah.
Like, because again, if I play Trivial Pursuit now, the sports category would still screw me over.
Yeah.
Like, just, I know a little, I might be able to get it, but I would be hovering around that category for like 30 minutes, just trying to get that one thing right.
Just before we sign off, pick one card, just
okay,
and look at the answers, not the questions.
All right.
And just read them out, and this will give you a good sort of portrait of like where this game is.
Harry Limes.
Okay.
My Fair Ladies, with an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Sterling Hayden, Piano Pieces, Kirk Douglas, and Anne Margaret.
Okay, those are all like things.
These are all over the place. Yeah. These are all over the place.
Well, what was that? What was it?
Something. Harry Limes, My Fair Ladies, Sterling Hayden, Piano Pieces.
What is Piano Pieces?
What kind of pieces were Five Easy Pieces?
Oh, they were piano pieces.
Yeah, which is fair. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, what do you got?
Let's see here. We're picking at random, looking at just the back. Hell. The Trouble with Harry.
Okay.
Oh. Trigger.
Mm.
He Was Dead. James Earl Jones.
Oh, wow.
And Valerie Perrine.
Okay, those are all over the place again. That's not all one movie. There's no way. All
right, so for Hell, what did Clint Eastwood name the town he painted red in High Plains Drifter?
Yeah, good one. Give me the answer. I'll try to guess the question.
Well, Trouble with Harry.
Shirley MacLaine's first movie?
Hitchcock film with Jerry Mathers.
Yeah, all
right. Trigger.
The horse.
Oh, yeah. Horse had his front hooves immortalized in cement.
Yeah.
He Was Dead. Oh, the question is, what was The Trouble with Harry?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Who played the voice of Darth Vader?
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. Yeah. And Valerie Perrine.
I don't know that one.
Who played Honey Bruce in Lenny?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I've never seen Lenny, actually.
Oh, I've projected Lenny, which is not quite the same as watching.
Right. I project a lot of things onto Lenny. My insecurities. No,
as a like, film projectionist, you yes, handle I the know. Projector. I, but anyway.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening. I'm going to gather
a little bit of ASMR there for a second. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you. This is the first and perhaps... Stop it.
Sorry.
This is the first and perhaps only This Ain't No Game. If you like this show, if this was fun for you... let us know. Seriously, we will not keep doing this if you do not let us know. This is going to be on our Patreon page. You can leave us a comment there. You can find us on social media. Let us know there. You can leave us a review on the Critically Acclaimed Network on Apple Podcasts. We'd read it there. And you can find us on social media. I am on Blue Sky at William Bibiani. He's at Whitney Seibold.
Indeed.
You can also send us an email. Our email address is letters@criticallyacclaimed.net. Apologies. And our P.O. Box is...
Send us a letter, a postcard, whatever you want to the Critically Acclaimed Network. P.O. Box 641565, Los Angeles, California, 90064.
And on the off chance that people did enjoy this and we do more of these, let us know which retro, like, tabletop games... you would like us to do that have a movie connection of some kind. It could be a tabletop game based on a movie. It could be a, like another older trivia game, maybe even some kind of, I'd be even be open to doing like a movie specific role playing game, like whatever. But let us know. The more obscure, the better. But obviously it's something we'd want to be able to find. So yes. Give us your suggestions. We'd be curious to read them. And yeah, maybe we'll do more. I don't know. Unless this sucked, in which case, sorry. I'm amazed you got this far.
Thanks for giving us a try.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm glad we helped get you through that root canal. Seriously, though, thank you everybody for listening. Huge shout out to our patrons. We can't do this without you. And by this, I mean, you know, the shows you usually ask for, and not maybe this weird one, but we can't do our shows without you. So thank you for everything. If you want to become a patron, if you want to support the show, you want to get ad-free episodes and a lot of exclusive episodes of our various shows. We mentioned several times our Oscars podcast, Only the Best. We're reviewing every movie ever nominated for Best Picture. We're currently working on the Best Picture nominees of 1959. Mm-hmm. And we'll hopefully record that podcast soon. But there's a huge backlog where we've reviewed every Oscar nominee up until 1959 for Best Picture. And that's a really good deep dive into Hollywood history. Not just the films you've heard of, but the films that have fallen into obscurity, which a lot of them have. So it's one of my favorite shows that we do. Thank you again, everyone. And I don't know how we... good game, everybody. Good game.
Good game. That's how we'll end it.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country. Anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.